Chapter 7. Bobby pretended she didn't know what happened to Father. She thought no one would notice, but her eyes were puffy and red, and her face was blotchy. "What's wrong?" asked Mother. "I'm all right," said Bobby. Tea was not a happy affair. When tea was finished, Bobby and Mother went into the kitchen. "What is it?" Mother asked. "Come upstairs. Come up where nobody can hear us," said Bobby. They went to Mother's room and locked the door. Bobby threw her arms around Mother and cried. Mother hugged her very tightly and waited for Bobby to tell her what was wrong. Bobby pulled out the newspaper and handed it to Mother. "Oh, Bobby, you don't believe that Father did this, do you?" Mother asked.
"No,"
Bobby shouted. "That's good. It's not true at all. They've shut him up in prison and he's done nothing wrong. He is good and noble and he belongs to us. We must remember that and wait for him to come home," said Mother.
"Will you tell me everything?"
"I won't tell Phyllis and Peter," said Bobby. Mother sat down with Bobby and told her everything. She told Bobby that Father was arrested for selling secrets to the Russians. The police said he was a spy and a traitor. Mother told Bobby about the trial, the evidence the police found in Father's desk in his office, letters to the Russians. The jury were sure Father was guilty.
"Oh, how terrible," said Bobby.
"Whoever is a spy and a traitor put the letters in Father's desk. I think it was Father's replacement," said Mother.
"We must tell someone," said Bobby.
"No one will listen," said Mother. Peter and Phyllis didn't ask Bobby what was wrong. They were very nice to her. Bobby thought for a very long time. A week after she spoke to Mother, Bobby wrote a letter to the old gentleman. It said, "My dear friend, what the papers say about Father is a lie. Mother says that Father's replacement put the letters in Father's desk. No one will listen, but I know you are good and clever. You found the Russian man's wife. Can you find out who the real spy and traitor are? Please help. I will pray twice for you every day if you find out. Your little friend, Roberta." Bobby put the newspaper article in the envelope with the letter. She went down to the station using the back way. She didn't want Peter and Phyllis to see where she was going. She gave the letter to the station master. He promised to give the old gentleman the letter in the morning. Peter and Phyllis were busy in the garden when Bobby got back. They were making swallows' nests under the eaves of the house. They were both covered with mud.
"Where have you been?" Peter asked.
"To the station, of course," said Bobby. Peter and Phyllis were arguing about whose idea it was to make the nests. Bobby didn't like them fighting, so she said, "There's going to be a paper chase tomorrow."
"A paper chase?" Peter asked.
"Yes, the grammar school will be doing it. Perks said the hare will be going down by the line," said Bobby. Peter and Phyllis started talking about the paper chase and forgot all about the swallows' nests. The next day, Mother made lunch for the children to take with them, and they went down to the line to watch the paper chase.
The children went to the place where workmen were still clearing the line from the landslide. It was taking a long time to do. The hare ran past and into the tunnel. He was a young boy with a bag over his shoulder. There was a hole in the bottom of the bag that dropped the paper trail. "He shouldn't go in there," the workman shouted. "Let him go. He's not harming anyone," said another. "I should report him," the first workman said. The hare had disappeared out of sight. Then came the hounds. There were 30 boys following the trail of paper next to the railway line. Bobby, Peter, and Phyllis counted them as they ran by. They watched them run into the tunnel. The last one to go in was wearing a red jumper. "Running in the dark is not an easy thing to do," the workman said. "How long will it take them?" Bobby asked. "At least an hour," the workman said. "Let's go to the other end of the tunnel and watch them come out," said Peter. The children went over the top of the tunnel to where the exit was. They had to climb up the steep hill to get to the other side. They paused at the top to catch their breath. Bobby admired the view. It was like the pictures in Mother's books. When the children were ready, they went down to the tunnel. The hounds and the hare were not there yet. Eventually, the hare came out of the tunnel. He looked very tired. Not long after, the hounds came out. But the boy in the red jumper didn't come out. The three children climbed down to the mouth of the tunnel. "He must be hurt and stuck in the tunnel. Let's go and find him," said Peter. "But I am hungry," said Phyllis. "Bobby, give her a sandwich," said Peter. Bobby gave Peter and Phyllis a sandwich each. After their lunch, the children went into the tunnel. "If a train comes by, stand flat against the wall and pull in your petticoats," Bobby told Phyllis. Peter went into the tunnel first. It was very dark in the tunnel. The ground was made of gravel that slipped under their feet. The wall was covered with slimy water. "I want to go back. I don't like it," Phyllis said. "Don't be silly. I have a candle," said Peter. The wires above the railway started to hum, and the tracks started to shake. "What's that?" "It's a train," said Bobby. "Let me go back," Phyllis said. Bobby held her hand tightly. "You are quite safe. Now stand back," Bobby said. There was a gap in the wall. Peter found it and Bobby dragged Phyllis along to it. The three children huddled in it until the train had gone past. It was so loud as it went past. Peter was sure he would be deaf. The train roared and the lights flashed past. It was just like a dragon. When the train had gone, Peter lit his candle. All three of the children were trembling. "Come on," said Peter. "Oh, what if the boy with the red jumper was on the line?" said Phyllis. "Let's go and find out," said Peter. They walked a long way in the darkness until they found the boy with the red jumper. He was sitting on the ground with his back against the wall. His eyes were shut. "Is there blood? Is he dead?" asked Phyllis. "Don't be silly. He's fainted. What should we do?" said Peter. "Can we move him?" asked Bobby. "He's too big," said Peter. We can put water on his forehead, said Phyllis.
We don't have any water, said Peter.
We have a bottle of milk. That will work, said Bobby.
They burn feathers under people's nose to wake them up, said Phyllis.
We don't have any feathers, said Peter.
I have a shuttlecock in my pocket. I can burn the feathers on that, said Phyllis.
Peter rubbed the hand of the boy. Bobby burned the feathers under his nose, and Phyllis splashed milk on his face. All three of the children were saying, "Wake up! Look up! Speak to me!" while they kept looking out for trains which were coming down the line.